Hi, welcome to the One-to-One Thing podcast. My name is Steve Wright, a seasoned IT manager and personal development coach, unpacking what it takes to have a meaningful one-to-one conversation at work, home, and in our head. We all live lives full of conversations that range from awkward to impossible. Join me as we learn to navigate the one-to-one thing. Hi, and welcome to the show. This one-to-one thing is pretty special. It's a chat with my mum, and I'm so glad that we were able to get some time together while celebrating her birthday this week in Lancaster to have a sit down and get some recording done and have a chat. And it was special, and I hope you enjoy it.
Mum, thank you for being my interview guest. I'm going to put this on my podcast because I know you're my biggest fan. So that'll be fun. So do you want to say hi to the audience?
First of all, I would like to say hi to you for inviting me here in Lancaster. And I would say hi to all the fans out there that you know. I don't know them. But by this time, they will know.
There you go. And
my name is Claire, and I am here on vacation from hot Jamaica. And now this morning, I'm in Lancaster, where it's very cold and it's raining.
It gets better in the summer, hopefully, but. But yeah, thanks for being here. I'm flattered. I'm flattered to be able to do it and just have a chat and just talk stuff, I guess. So you lived here. You came here as a young person.
Yes, I came here at a tender age of 18 years old. I lived in London for some years. That's where Steve was born. And he grew up in London. As a child, he was very obedient. I loved him very, very much. He's my only child, and I grew him on my own. Of course, when I came to London, I lived with my parents, and my stepdad wasn't a very nice person, and I just want to get out. And then I got out, and there it was. I got pregnant with Steve, and then that was it. I couldn't stay at home. I had to leave home, and then I lived on my own. Steve was born, and I tried my endeavor to grow him up on my own. It was difficult at times. Sometimes I had nothing, not much, but what we had, we were satisfied with it, and we were comfortable. Steve went to school, and I had no trouble with Steve at school. Everyone loved him. He went to an all boys school in London, George Manos.
Yeah, George Manos, yeah.
And it was a very good school, and he had his education from there.
I remember you were fighting hard to get me into that school. That's because right. the school that I was supposed to go to for the follow-on from my junior high wasn't that great a school. So even if it meant going further, taking a longer bus ride to George Monex, who lived in East London then. And so that was memorable. It was always you and me, although my dad was in the picture. I mean, I appreciate you making sure that there was some time with my dad to include that. That was important. But a lot of it was you and me and mummy, my grandmother, taking on the world. So that was good. It's interesting because being a single mum today is tough, let alone being a single mum in the 60s when you've been sort of displaced from your home in Jamaica, you know, your home country, to come to England. And this is the 60s. I mean, what was England like back then?
Well, there was a lot of dysfunction in my life because there was prejudice around, mm-hmm. and it was very difficult to get a place to rent. There was always a blockage there where you've got to be of a certain standard or color to have some place nice to rent. But I was fortunate enough to get somewhere that I was quite comfortable with, mm-hmm. and to grow you up there.
Mm. I mean, this is London, and I'm guessing historically, you know, you can go back and look through a lot of immigrants, migration happens to bigger cities because there's more of a collective.
Yeah.
So, you know, even being far from home, you're in a circle of Jamaicans, people who are from the islands, whether you knew them from home, but they kind of had that in common. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that kind of helped build that sort of community. And then, so your career was in nursing?
Not at first.
Okay.
At first, I worked in a shop that sells household things. Mm-hmm. I was there for about 6 years, mm-hmm. or so. And then I had you then. In the mornings, I had to wake up very early, very cold mornings, to take you to your nanny, because I had to work to earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I got fed up with it, mm-hmm. because I saw where I could earn a bit more. So I left that job and I went into nursing,
mm-hmm.
which was, it was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had help with you from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I was short of money, she was always there to give a hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went into nursing, you were about 10 years old. So my mom kept you then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did my training in Romford Hospital. It was out of town from London, so I had to come into London when I have my days off,
mm-hmm.
to see you. But I would always get in touch with my mom then to see how everything was.
Mm.
So after that, when you grew up then, you went, after you left school, you went off to Zambia for a year, which was a pleasant surprise for me, and it was pleasant for you to branch out and find different places where you could spread your wings as such, and meet people of different color, race.
Mm.
You were in Zambia for a year and you did very well there.
Mm. You recount the stories with a positive spin on them. Me going to Zambia, I know it was hard for you because it was a long time away. It was my first time away from home.
That's right.
It was straight out of high school and after finishing A-levels, which I didn't get. So that was a bit stressful for me and for you, I guess, because I didn't get the grades that I planned to get. But at the same time, it's always pleasant to hear you recount the story with a positive spin rather than a negative spin. Coming from Jamaica to England is not romantic. It's not, it's hard work. It's very hard work.
Yes.
Being in a place where you're not welcome, where you're the wrong color, and trying to navigate your way through life is not easy. Having a child as a teenager is not easy. But even as you recount them, I'm saying this on camera because that's how you are. And I see that reflection in how I am. Stuff happens, but you don't necessarily have to disasterize everything that happens.
Not at all.
I appreciate that kind of, whether that's genetics or just upbringing, it's been very helpful I'm a proud son because I'm proud of my parents, my mom and my dad, because they've kind of instilled things that I value, and I see them walk through life with a positive disposition rather than the doom and gloom. So easy today that says, oh, you know, the government owes me something or the world owes me something. Right. And then all of a sudden you wake up vexed. You're always looking for something to happen to you rather than making something happen for you. Mm-hmm. I commend you. Like I said, you had a nursing career and you're able to retire early enough to go back to Jamaica. I mean, and then what was that transition like? You raised family or raised me. You got to a point where you wanted to go back to the rock.
Yes. I always say when I'm 50, I want to go to Jamaica to live.
Wow.
To spend the years that I've missed from being there. Mm-hmm. It was very hard. And I didn't get a lot of encouragement from my friends because they were saying, Claire, at your age, what do you want to go to Jamaica and live for? I said, well, I just feel I want to make that move. Mm-hmm. And I made my mind up and I did it. Actually, going back to Jamaica, it was not pleasant because I didn't have any friends there. And I went back and I had no friends. But I am a jolly person, so I make friends wherever I go. And in no time, I had many, many friends. And I built my home. I had some difficulties because, you know, when you return home, people thinking, oh, you've got money, which I didn't have. I had enough to help me out while I was there. And I had my superannuation plan that helped me to give me a lump sum that I could manage when I was there. Mm. And building my home, it was sometimes very difficult because the workmen are not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
They may come today, they may not come tomorrow, and they come with their own idea and telling you what you should do. And I had some fuss with them because they think they should do what they want to do. And I didn't allow them to do it. It's my place, so I want them to do the job the way I want it to be done. Mm-hmm. So I made a few enemies with them.
Yeah, I can attest to mom wanting things just the way she likes them. So yeah.
Yes. So they were done the way I wanted it to be done. I'm now living in Jamaica for 26 years. I've returned back to Jamaica for 26 years. And I'm really enjoying my retirement in the sunshine. Yeah. Really am.
Yeah.
A home is never finished. There's always something to be done. But I just take one day at a time and I manage well.
Yeah. And it's a great story, a testimony to fulfilling the dream to return. It's not always in someone's plan to necessarily, when they migrate, they have an intention of making that a permanent move, for example. I think a lot of the migration in the 60s, the Windrush era, the backfilling of jobs and careers in the UK from colonized countries in Caribbean, predominantly Caribbean at that time.
That's right.
Was really people thought, well, you know, employment's not that great in the islands. Let me go here. I'll stay here, get a trade, learn a trade, get some money, and then come home. And I'm sending money home, but I'll just be here for a while and I'll come home.
Mm-hmm.
And you get caught up in life in the UK, and before you know it, you know, 20 years have gone by, 30 years have gone by, and then you end up thinking, well, it's too little, too late. But you found a way out, which is admirable.
Oh, yes.
Because I think a lot of people, we're retiring so late now that the options of going back to Jamaica as a pensioner you know, in your late 60s now, is a lot more difficult. And health, you know, health is a consideration as well. And you stayed healthy. So that's been
That was a blessing, or that is a blessing, that I've stayed healthy.
Yeah.
Not wealthy, healthy.
Make that distinction. Actually, the first wealth is health. But so even if you are wealthy, if you're wealthy without health, then that's poor.
Exactly.
So you went back and you found love, you found church.
Before I left England to go back to Jamaica, I thought the first thing I am going to do is to find a church. And I did, because I went into the Brownstown Baptist Church in 1998. They had a crusade there, and I gave back my life to the Lord. And I was accepted as a member there. In 2000, I became a member in the Brownstown Baptist Church. And I am still a member of the Brownstown Baptist Church. I went back to Jamaica as a single person, and I found love in the church. I found my husband, Eustace Ellis, in the Brownstown Baptist Church. We dated for a year. And in 2004, we got married. And I enjoyed my married life. He was a very good person to me. He was a very good husband. He treated me well. And of course, I treated him well. And he had two children. And of course, I had my Steve. His children, Robert and Sylvia, they met Steve and they became very good friends. Robert lives out in Afghanistan, so we didn't see him very much. But Sylvia, I always keep in touch with her. She's a very good and loving stepdaughter. And I got on very well with them. Unfortunately, in 2015, my husband had cancer of the lung, and he didn't do surgery, just do the treatment, radiotherapy. It helped for a little while, but then it came back and it spread, so unfortunately, he didn't survive. In 2016, he died, which was very sad. I miss him so much. But that's how life is. They said two in a bed, one will have to go. And he went before me. And I still miss him. Even though I talk about him, I get very emotional, but that's how it is.
It was great to be the sort of the MC at the wedding and spend time with Eustace, and also visit while he was sick, and you know, he still had a positive outlook in terms of just, he's in pain, he's dealing with a terminal illness, but at the same time not being so down, if you like.
That's,
you
right,
know. I think he had a spirit that was always hopeful and and forthcoming. So yeah, I enjoyed him. I enjoyed time and even the little jokes and stuff like that. It was really good. You're still there, kind of managing Brownstown. You're out and about doing your thing. Brownstown is in St. Anne, which is the same parish, the north, near Ocheria, St. Anne's Bay, Duns River, that kind of area, where people get a sense of where we are in we were talking about in the island. I love it there. The last couple of years, I've spent three and a half months out of the last couple of years in Jamaica with my mum, and loving every minute, working out, and eating fresh fruits and vegetables, and just enjoying the sunshine, which I really do enjoy.
Oh, yes.
I got my citizenship, and it's open to me to get it, so I wanted to do that. It does allow a more relaxed entry to Jamaica. I remember coming through the airport with my British passport and having all these questions as to where I was going to stay, who I was staying with. And then the second time I came out with my Jamaican passport, the immigration officer said, "Welcome home." Now, Jamaica's not my home, but she's on the Jamaican passport. That's she says, right. "Welcome home," which is interesting. I've never had anyone tell me "welcome home" with my British passport. Mm-hmm. You can draw conclusions from that. But yeah, so what's life like day to day?
Life is enjoyable because I do get to go out a lot. In our church, we have the Women's Federation, which we do. So I am kept busy. Mm. And sometimes my friend and I, Jean, we love flowers. So we are always visiting flower show and garden, flower garden. We do love flowers, so we are always buying flowers. Mm-hmm. Go, even if we drive out and sit on the roadside, we stop and we want to buy flowers. Actually, when my husband was alive, he always said to me, "You are always bringing bush in the house." I said, "These are not bush, they are flowers." Mm-hmm. You go to your field, and this is my hobby, so... He said, "Okay, then you get on with what you have to do." So I just get on with buying flowers.
There you go. The house is never quiet. Now you got a few.
I've got a parrot and two dogs, a little poodle and another bigger dog.
Yeah.
And I've got a parrot that talks to me. I talk to her and she talks to me. "Hello, Auntie Claire." Cover up at night. "Night, Auntie Claire." Wake up in the morning, take her, cover up. "Morning, Auntie Claire." And the dogs just bark and make noise. And I'm never lonely at home. Mm. And apart from the animals, I usually get guests from England who want to stay by my house, so they come and we had fun and we go out, go to the beach, go out to eat, and we just enjoy ourselves. Mm. And I just think, at my age, I am doing very well.
I think you're doing very well. And I think there are keys, the secrets to how well you do. Alluded to one of them being a positive outlook on things in the past. And sometimes people look at the past and they reminisce or they ruminate. They make it more work than it needs to be.
That's right.
And, you know, it's not like you forget the past. It's just like you don't sort of carry the baggage off it,
exactly,
which is a key.
Exactly.
And then you mentioned faith, which has been a strong thread in terms of something bigger than yourself.
And that is
important. And also you mentioned good friends, your best friend, Jean. Every time I come out, you can see that the connection is really, really deep and really strong. And
yes.
I mean, what is it like to have a best friend?
Oh, it's wonderful. And to see that we are both Christian ladies, we do things that others will appreciate us for and think of us as God-filled people, you know. So we live by faith and we do everything together.
No, it's definitely special. What would be some of your advice, having lived a long and fruitful, energetic life, what would be some of your advice to younger folks, younger than me, or even me?
I would advise younger people, as I said, even you, to seek first the Lord, because he will lead them through. Mm. Because we can do nothing of our own. Whatever we do, the Lord help us to do it. And to be at peace with themselves. Because if you are not at peace with yourself, mm-hmm. you cannot be at peace with no one around you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be at peace with yourself and find out where you want to go. Don't let bad companies lead you into bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's a company that they keep that leads them into these situations that they find themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
Be successful in whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And seek the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and He will guide them through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely having that focus on something bigger than yourself, whether you're of faith or not, there needs to be something that is outside of you so that you're not focused on your own situation,
own
stuff too much. Serving others, helping others, that's definitely key. You've spent a lot of time in England, and it's interesting that people from the Caribbean islands, when they migrated, there was a tension between bringing their culture, language, music to the UK versus assimilating to the music, language, culture of the UK.
Okay, yeah.
Jamaica was colonized, it became independent in 1962. So it had a strong influence from the UK, and obviously the invitation of people to work, migrant workers to come to the UK was important. You're very well spoken, and you made sure that I was kind of well spoken as well. It's one thing to be well spoken in the UK because you want to assimilate. It's another thing being well spoken in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
because that can also be a little bit divisive. People go, oh, you know, she thinks she's better than us.
That's right.
So through this interview, you're very articulate.
Thank you.
But I know my mom when she speaks to a local. When we're in the market, there's a different Claire that comes out, right?
Oh yes. When I go into the market, Claire is a Jamaican. I ask for things and I said, how much for something over there, sir? And he said, $200. I said, $200 for that? No, man, that not worth $200 at all. And he said to me, but Miss Claire, is where you are going with? I said, I'm not going with nothing, but I'm not paying $200 for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jamaican dollar, just to be clear.
Yeah, that's Jamaican dollar.
Jamaica's known for its music, its food, and its language, the patois.
Yes, right.
That's prevalent. And it's interesting for me. I never didn't speak much of that at home. I mean, I heard it in Jamaican company, and it was almost, I don't know, it's almost frowned upon for me to speak that way, even in Jamaican company, because I was born and raised in England.
That's right.
But it's interesting spending more time in Jamaica and actually having it be more fluid. You do fall into picking up the accents and the tones of the place that you're in. And patois is not a derogatory way of speaking to somebody. It's more like a dialect, you know.
That's right.
It has its own words. So it does form a language. It's no different than someone having a Yorkshire accent or a Lancashire accent or, you know, a London, South London twang.
And if you speak to someone in patois in your country, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing that you've got to go through and say this, you know? They understand when you speak to them in patois.
Yeah.
But sometimes you speak to them in English, you've got to go through and say what you mean by that.
Yeah.
But in patois, people in Jamaica just understand because that's the language we speak.
Yeah. What's some of the sayings that you have in patois, like a proverb or like a colloquial saying?
You don't hang your basket where you can't reach it. You carry the donkey to the water, but you can't make the donkey drink the water. We've got loads of them.
And then like Anansi is one of the folk stories.
Yeah, Anansi story. They tell you all kind of Anansi story. And ghost Duppy story.
Duppy is ghost.
Duppy is ghost.
There's a whole vocab. It's a whole vocabulary. You'd have to look online to see where where some of those things come from. It's so heartening to set up even this, like this kind of setup where we can talk, because a lot of times you don't formally make the time to talk. You don't always have the equipment to sort of set up a recording of conversations. And I appreciate, Mum, you being here celebrating your birthday next week in Lancaster. I think that's great, because it's just, as much as we're connected, it's just nice to be able to celebrate those events together. And it's nice, especially nice you being here, even if the weather's awful and it's cold and you've got to get extra clothing and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm grateful for every day. I'm grateful for you all the time. And that's special. And I think having someone to be grateful to and for helps you to become grateful for other things around you.
That's true.
You know, if you don't have an example of gratitude in your life, it's difficult to express gratitude in other areas. Mm-hmm. When you do have someone that you're grateful for, then that kind of that radiates or permeates to other areas where you can sort of be grateful for. So I'm super grateful for you.
And I am super grateful for you, my only son. I love you dearly. I love you from the bottom of my heart. And I'm not going to say how old I will be for this birthday, but I'm getting on.
I'm getting on something. Thank you, Mum.
Thank you, my son.
This has been, didn't know where it was going to go, but I'm glad we explore things. I hope there's some takeaways from what we've shared, and even just reach out if you have family members out there that you need to connect with and talk with. Don't make it as formal as this, but pull them aside. It's important to have generational discussions.
Oh, yes.
Because we live in a world that's very fast and very temporary. And to be able to appreciate those that have gone ahead or up in age on you is important. And also for them to have a chance to impart their wisdom and their experience in your life as well. So thank you again.
You're welcome. Most welcome.
Thanks for joining me today. Please subscribe and leave a review. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. My details and links are in the show notes.